missed work last night and didn't call in.
Oh, I was out of it. I can't remember where we studied. Chapter 9. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before him. We studied that. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath. Now, I don't remember if we started to talk about this, but the most significant, you know, we could go on and on because they go ever and always through all of the possible things in the scriptures about good and clean and unclean. But mostly the good and clean, the one that's most important, refers to Moses and Aaron. And to the unclean refers to the spies. We studied that, didn't we?
Not clean and unclean. We talked about the spies.
But the fact that neither the spies delivered the evil report about the land, and neither entered. To him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not, to him that sacrificeth, they say, refers to Josiah. Now remember, Josiah was the one for whom they hadn't even known about the law for at least a generation, and then they found the book of the law, and he read it, and he rent his clothes and wept. And then he started the reforms where he cleaned out the kingdom of idolatry. And then he had the Passover that was never again seen, such a Passover as this. And to him that sacrificed not refers to Ahab. Does anybody remember who Ahab is? Now the point is, here we have Moses and Aaron who were faithful, who did according to everything that we can conceive of as heroic. And then we have the spies, who everything that we can consider spiritual, they gave an evil report that there were giants in the land. And that's the same as today. There's giants in the land that tell you that you cannot enter today. And the giants are whatever the issue is that's before you. And that giant, it has many faces. And you can't enter the land. You can't live by faith. You've got too many responsibilities. You've got too much to do. You've got too, you know, whatever it is. And I promise you that each one of those thoughts are one of the spies. Can you understand that?
Spies are giants. On both.
Well, they're the ones that are telling you can't enter because of.
Okay.
So.
It always makes sense.
What?
There's always a good reason. We can't do this because of that. Because of this.
Right. I mean, it's forever. And it's revealed in all the generations of Israel, that which is the type for us. It's revealed in their trek through the wilderness. It's revealed in even if after they've entered the promise, they soon find giants in the land and they can't do. Remember the famous story about Israel hadn't lived in an agricultural society for 400 years. And so they got to the promised land, and they didn't know anything about planting seeds and planting crops. And so the inhabitants of the land told them, well, what you do is you take this seed and you throw it around, and then you take this little teeny little idol and you set it on your mantle. And that'll make so they did, and the crops grew. You got to remember when this all the parables about seeds, they didn't plant like we do. They didn't have nice furrowed ground and they dug it up and plowed it. They just tossed the seeds everywhere. So anyway, to him that sacrificeth refers to Josiah. That's in 2 Chronicles 35. We're not going to go there, but if you don't know what it's about, it's an incredible story. But let's look at Ahab, 1 Kings 22. Because to him that sacrificeth refers to Josiah, and him that sacrificeth not refers to Ahab. Ahab was a king, and he did some good stuff. He was reproved by Elijah, and Elijah pronounced his doom, and then he repented, and then he seduced by false prophets. And then, so we go to chapter 22, Well, the point of this is that he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he accepted idolatry and believed the false prophets. And what happened was, in 1 Kings 22:34, let's look and see what happened to him. In verse 33, it came to pass that when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at the venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased. You can read it if you want to. Ahab was killed by an arrow. Well, if you go to Josiah, 2 Chronicles 35, Josiah was also killed by an arrow. I can't find it right now. Yes, I can. Verse 23. And the archer shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, have me away, for I am sore wounded. Servants took him out and he died. But the point is, with Moses and Aaron, anybody would call them good, they did not enter the land. The spies, everybody reported those evil, they did not enter the land. Then with Josiah, everybody said he's the best king that has ever lived, he was shot by an arrow. Ahab was one of the worst kings that ever lived, he was shot by an arrow. So you get the point here. You can't look at anything after the flesh.
Under the sun, everything is...
Right. As is the good, refers to David, who built the temple and reigned 40 years, and from him came Messiah. So the sinner, Nebuchadnezzar, destroyed the temple, and he reigned for 40 years. There is but one event to the righteous and to the wicked. And that, if you can understand that, then you can begin to see correctly. The whole of your life has nothing to do with what you think is being in the favor of God. Now,
all.
And I spent much time the last 4 or 5 days watching religious television. The new buzzword is favor. Everybody is telling everybody else how to get the favor of the Lord. I saw this one prophetess, what's her name?
Juanita
Bynum. She was on what I've been watching is the
just the black ball of light.
The telethon for Daystar. And so they have Benny Hinn, Paula, Jakes, all of them, Juanita Bynum. And all of them are talking about how you find the favor of God. Of course, because it's a telethon, it all ends up in, well, you got to give. But it's so, I mean, based on what we're studying, it is so anti-scriptural that it just makes me sad.
What's the Bible tell?
But the point of it isn't what they are doing. It's what you believe internally. Under what evidence are you looking to think that God isn't with you, or on what evidence are you looking to think that God is with you? You got to remember, the greatest apostle that ever lived, Paul, everybody left him 3 different times. Now, any sane person, he'd have quit if he had any sense. Remember, every single one of the apostles, of the disciples of Christ, died horribly, alone. It would have been very easy for them just to slightly modify what they were saying. And all they would have had to say was, the God that I worship wants to help you. The God that I worship has... We're talking about the same things. You know, you just call him Allah, or you just call him something. And it's just horseshit. And the rest of chapter 9 shows this over and over and over and over again. That you cannot make judgments about the will of God based on anything that you can come up with in your mind. Oh, let's go to the church of our choice. Well, I promise you, you're going to be like you just go to a place where people are like you, that have the same idolatry. And then you can, I mean, that's the point of all of that. Now, of all times, we are now in what's called the days of awe. Hopefully, somebody read last night the proclamation at the end. Now impose thine awe upon all that thou. Did you read? Anybody read that last night?
We didn't get around to that.
That's the most important thing of the beginning of the 10 days of awe. The 10 days of awe are between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
We did mention it.
That's big of you. Impose thine awe upon all creation. Now, again, I don't care what he's doing about there. I care what he's doing in here. What?
Nothing.
There's a hitch in the get along a minute ago.
Oh, my glasses were black. I had to refocus. I was thinking a minute ago how it boils down to what you said, something about how you think about God or whatever. It got down to what you see, what you think, and what you feel. That's how flesh determines God and His wording. Those are all go to the cross.
that's what you're using to determine who God is.
Let's go ahead for just go back to Ecclesiastes 9. We're going to skip a little bit and then. Go down to verse 4. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Now, do you know, all of you know who Hadrian was, the most hated of all the emperors? He's the one that destroyed the... he was the one in 132, right, that destroyed Bar Kokhba rebellion. So he was, that was really the last opportunity that Israel had to rebuild the temple, any reasonable opportunity. It was still within the memory. They still had a possibility of building it. They may try to build something, but it won't be the temple. And Hadrian, he's the one that absolutely destroyed the temple. He put it under siege for such a long time that's when they read the Book of Lamentations, that the women ate their children in order to survive. And it was just on and on and on and on. He's most hated of all. But he knew the scriptures. And so there's this great story about him. Where is it? No, I can't find it. Oh, yeah. No. I think he's the only one that is, his actual name in the Talmud and the Midrash and everything is Hadrian the Accursed. He said, they were having this great argument, and he said, "Am I not better than Moses?" to Rabbi Joshua. And then he said, "Because I am alive and he is dead."
He's a dog and Moses is blind.
"For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know nothing." Now, the response was, the rabbi's response was, "You are dead and don't know it." You got to hear this. Throughout the Jewish, the foundation of our faith, when they said that he will be cast into outer darkness, and we think, that means that's something up in space somewhere. No, that just means that he'll be treated as a Gentile. He is dead. Gentiles weren't living. They were dead. That's why the same prohibitions about touching and going and passing through the Gentile land and even stepping on a Gentile or come in contact with a Gentile, you had to go through the same cleansing procedures as you did if you touched a dead body. Now, but they ignore this a couple of things. So they ignore what God said in Genesis at the beginning. Let's go look at it and see something. Genesis 1 or 2. Either 1 or 2.
It's in the beginning somewhere.
It's in the beginning somewhere.
Sam, not the middle.
What?
Either 1 or 2. Make the
one. Genesis 2. Verse 15. "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now, the moment you ate, the moment you and I ate, and we ate because our forefathers ate, and again, you don't believe that, that's not fair. Well, again, you don't. The question that I've always asked is, that has the same, where would you be if your grandfather had died at birth? Well, obviously you wouldn't exist. Well, the point of it is that the curse was an ultimate kind of event. It altered history. It altered the human race forever. And when they ate of the fruit of the tree of good and evil, they are dead. Not they're going to be dead.
They're dead and don't know it. And because judgment isn't executed swiftly,
so they were talking about the Passover, and they were talking about the curses, and they said the plagues and that telethon, and they said God was caused these terrible curses to come on Egypt because he was punishing Pharaoh for all the evil that Pharaoh had done to his people. That's horseshit. The plagues came because Israel, his people, had accepted the gods of Egypt. Let's go to Ezekiel 30. Ezekiel 18, I mean. I'm going to show you something. Ezekiel 18. This is what gets these prophet guys killed.
I'm sorry, Ezekiel what?
Ezekiel 18. Starting verse 25. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not equal or not just. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. And when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive, because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed. He shall surely live. He shall not die. Now again, remember, the turneth away is the word shub. It doesn't mean stop doing something. It means turning away and leaving you behind. That's what repentance is. It's not, I screwed up and I'm going to try to do better next time. It's you repent when you leave all of you behind. You got it? Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal and your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. Except that's literally says, I have no pleasure in the death of the dead. It is appointed unto man once to die. Now, forget what you know about that. Don't try to put what you think about that, because we died when we ate of the fruit of the knowledge, the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He alone is life. Everything else is death. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You've heard me say often, he never said he would give you life because he is life. He never said he would show you the truth because he is the truth. He'd never say he'd show you the way because he is the way. You can't be, you can't be of him and in your own name. I have no pleasure in the death of the dead. Can you see how our minds have taken everything about the mystery of God and polluted it? And we apply our own definitions. And we do it because we don't know the law. And so now we're going to have the dead man be in God's favor. They're all undertakers. They're putting makeup on dead bodies. But some might say, well, Ollie, you're just not equal. You're not balanced.
Some might say you're unbalanced.
All of them say that. Can you see the finality of this mystery of God? Can you see that if you don't see the finality, that everything is lukewarm, everything is shadows, everything is twilight?
Everything is putting it off for another day.
Everything, you are. You make a nothing. It's constant. You make an infinite number of truces in order to survive. Aren't you tired of that? And then it becomes obvious why forgiveness is the key to the kingdom. Because if you can't forgive everything, then you don't know anything about what the mystery is, because you're still making you the centerpiece.
You're trying to make sense out of a senseless world. You're
trying to give life to death. The rest of Ecclesiastes is more and more and more of this. Now, we are in the days of awe. That's what these days are called. This is when Jesus was baptized. During this period, in the days of awe, that's when the Jews baptized. I don't care how many people say, well, baptism was a... No, it wasn't. John the Baptist was baptizing during the days of awe between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, it's what happens up on the mercy seat if the lid is taken off the ark. It's total destruction. But the rabbis say, and all of the stuff we've studied for 100 years about this say, is that the judgment day was already, the judgment day was Rosh Hashanah. In other words, but God in his mercy has given us these next 10 days. But if we just, and this cycle has been repeating itself now for 2,000 years to show his mercy is far greater than any of us can even conceive of. We think we're walking in light. But if we are yet comparing, you're not walking in light. A living dog is better than a dead lion. Anybody have any response?
That's like you have to, this guy, Ecclesiastes preacher guy, is saying if you want to live without considering God, then you have to get rid of all that hope stuff that, you know, that's floating around. Really, the reality is, you know, everybody's going to die, et cetera, et cetera. Spiritually,
we are already
we're
dead.
We're already dead, and we see all these other things.
But because we've created a religion with time in it, and we perpetuate the putting off of.
Well, and what we do is we take God's mercy, which is the time that He allows us between the judgment and the execution of the judgment. We mistake that. We don't see it for mercy. We mistake that as God won't do anything. I might as well go ahead and do whatever. I ate the fruit and I didn't die in the same day, so. Something you said reminded me of one of John's songs about the death angel lowers his sword in mid-stride, and 3 days was enough to
quench King David's pride.
Quench King David's pride. It's like that 10 days is when you better run your ass out of Jerusalem, get to the river, get to the other side of the river, and get baptized. Because there is a sword hanging over, suspended.
That whole, you got, I mean, Jesus' baptism was incredible. I mean, he, a son of man, if you believe what we study, that John the Baptist took all the people to the other side of the Jordan. And by doing so, they were proclaiming themselves to be Gentiles. They were dead. So that way you can understand why baptism is burial. And when then all the only one that comes out of the water spiritually is the Son of God. He when entered in as Son of Man, he came out as Son of God. That's when his ministry began. And when you were baptized and you go in and come out, that's a symbolic of a born again, you've been rebirthed. But it's not, well, I'm going to sprinkle water as this. You got to see that baptism is your death, that your burial, because you finally understood that you're dead. But if you don't understand that, you're not getting baptized, you're just getting wet. Anybody else? John, you're doing this again. Take a big guy.